from Wall Street to the White House. This is the Larry Kudlow Show.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Gentleman Prince Kash Patel stayed over. Former Chief of Staff, Secretary of Defense, former Senior Director of Counterterrorism at the National Security Council, all in the Trump presidency. And I want to promo his book, Government Gangsters, The Deep State, The Truth, and the Battle for Our Democracy. So just thinking about that, it's just the way you look at the title of your book, The Battle for Our Democracy, the battle, you know, for Israel's democracy, the battle for Middle East democracy. So you know what you said in the first one, everyone's bombing everyone else. Now, that is a really important point because you don't want that. I mean, there's nothing good about that, right? But people aren't really talking about this, Kash.
Yeah, when you bomb people, people die. Civilians die. You miss your targets. Babies and children die. Just like when General Milley and President Biden drone struck Afghani children because they thought they were attacking a suicide bomber. They killed 13 American soldiers, and they lied about it. Propaganda comes out of these campaigns, and that inures to the benefit of our enemies, Iran. And when you have Biden and Austin and the tragic failure of the National Command Authority, when the Secretary of Defense lies to his commander-in-chief, our frontline soldiers are hurt, and they're put in jeopardy. And what's worse is our enemies take advantage of the situation and continue to strike us to the tune of 135 times. You wanted to talk about the importance of the Houthis. The Houthis are just as bad as Hezbollah and Hamas. They are Iran's mercenary force in Yemen, and now they are fully charged and ready to go and shutting down trade and cargo ships in the Red Sea, but most importantly, attacking American installations, and we're doing nothing. And it leads to what you just said. Everybody's bombing everybody.
Well, that's your line. It's a very important line. You know, I had Congressman Waltz from Florida. I forgot his first name. Very smart. Mike Waltz. And I had, you know, the Israeli counterintelligence guy, Saul Cohn. Now, both of them were very concerned, as you are. Saul, not so much about the Pakistan-Iran thing. But I'm just listening to you, this idea of everybody bombing everybody else. And so what the United States is supposed to be the superpower, and we were the dominant. I mean, the Trump administration changed the game in the Middle East. That's fair, isn't it? We isolated Iran. We had the Abraham Accords. We backed Israel to the hilt. Now, it looks like, Kash, not only is that all broken, but the United States has become a lesser player. That's my concern.
No, you're right. Look, as a, as an American, I'm cheering for Joe Biden to succeed on the national security front, and he's failing. Those leaders over there, our former quote-unquote allies, aren't even taking our phone calls. And what's worse, Russia and China are arming Iran because now they're flush with cash. And when we go back to the theme of this conversation about everybody bombing everybody, Larry, when it, people are talking about, oh, we're not at war, we're really not there, people are at war, and it takes one errant bomb, one errant missile to cause the entire world to go to war, just like we did in the 40s. And that's what my fear is, because, like you pointed out, America, the backstop for security in the world, is gone under Joe Biden. Unlike Donald Trump, when he made national security the priority, we wound out of three forever wars, and we neutralized all the terrorist threats in the Middle East. And, oh, by the way, they got the Middle East peace done. You know, that's the difference, and I think people are seeing it.
Wow. Kash, you're just fabulous. I got to get you back on the TV show this week, and we'll walk through this stuff. This is eye-opening stuff. Folks, Kash Patel, and the name of his book is Government Gangsters, The Deep State, The Truth, and the Battle for Our Democracy. Thank you ever so much, Kash Patel. Now, we're going to roll right into our next guest, who is an old and dear friend, Chris Liddell, former White House Deputy Chief of Staff, and he was a Chief Financial Officer for both Microsoft and General Motors. That ain't bad. I don't know if he sold a stock. If he owns a stock in Microsoft, holy cow, rich, rich. His new book is called Year Zero, The Five-Year Presidency. The release date is January 23rd, which I guess is Monday, if my numbers are correct. I want to say that Chris Liddell served, or I served with him in the White House. And he and his wonderful bride, Renee, are dear friends of Judy and me. So, Chris, first of all, I don't have the darn book. Someone got to send me the book, okay? Get one of your guys to send me the book. I'm not going to give you the address over the radio, but I want to look at the book. Now, your point is the 5-year presidency. As I understand it, you want us to hit the ground running, so you got to prepare a year before. It's kind of a transition plus. And that may apply if President Trump is reelected. That will certainly apply. Is that basically the thrust of this thing?
Hey, Larry, how are you? Look, firstly, can I just say before I address your question, it's a great honor to be on your show. I'm sure your listeners appreciate how tough White House jobs are, but one of the real rewards is the incredible people you work with and go into battle with every day. And you, my friend, are at the absolute top of that list. So thank you for having me on.
Thank you.
And I will certainly get you a copy of a book
if
you like.
I mean, I'm a poor, starving, impoverished TV host. You know, you got to send it to me.
100%. So, look, having said that, Larry, the country's clearly in crisis. And I'm sure you've seen the numbers. But more than 70% of people believe that the country's headed in the wrong direction. Only 20% or so believe that the government will do the right thing to solve their problems. And in my view is it's time we did something about it. So my basic thesis is the best way to rebuild trust in our institutions is to make the government more effective. Mm. And that starts with the White House, which is the most important institution of them all. And that's what my book's about. Mm. And I have a series of recommendations in it, and we can talk a little bit about them if you like, but they start in what I describe as year zero, which is the year before governing. And thank you for having me on today, because Euro starts in about 20 minutes. January 20th, 2025 is 1 year and 20 minutes away from the inauguration.
That's a great point. I love that.
So year zero is all, to your point, is all about the things that an incoming president or a second term president, for that matter, has to do to make the White House more effective. And my view from my combination of my private sector experience and my public sector experience, which you mentioned I had a bit of both, is we can make the White House in the first year 100% more effective. Mm. Not in the private sector, maybe you can get 10%. In the White House, it can be 100%. Mm. But you can only have that level of success if you have in year one, if you do all the things that you need to do in year zero, because there's just so much to do. And the White House and the federal government have become so complicated that unless you plan for governance, then it's just too hard once you get in.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Chris, basically, there is something called a transition, but hear you, and I know your views on a lot of this stuff, the transition shouldn't be, you know, after the votes are counted, even though you have a couple months to inauguration. You're saying the transition should be a year long for both sides, whether you're Democrat or Republican. And you have to work, I think you have to work through personnel and policies. Is both sides? Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. So between people think of the transition as between the election and the inauguration, the sort of 75 days or thereabouts sprint once you get elected. But it starts a lot earlier than that. And 75 days is just not long enough. Mm. It's just you've got to appoint several thousand people. You've got to get your policy lined up. Mm. You've got to build your teams. You've got to appoint your White House staff. There is just way too much to do, especially as assuming you're an incoming president, you know, the whole world wants to talk to you. So you've got to start planning well ahead of that. Now, the tricky thing is obviously you have to campaign at the same time. Mm. So you have these two parallel paths. One is the campaigning and obviously winning the election if you're competing for it. But alongside that is the less well-known, less obvious, but equally important part, which is getting ready to govern. Mm-hmm. And clearly, you know, I'm a how guy. It's one of the reasons why you and I got on so well together. You're a great what guy, what we should do. I'm a how guy, how you should do it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all about getting ready, and it's no use. You can have all the best policies in the world, but if you don't have a plan to how to get them done and how to run the government, which is, as you know, incredibly complicated, and the barriers to getting things done are enormous, unless you have a plan for how you're going to do that, you can have all the what's in the world, but you're going to be ineffective.
I mean, more or less, I don't want to go deep, but is the AFPI doing that, America First Policy Institute? Are they like, it's not an official, I mean, it's a 501c3, so I have to be careful on this. It's not an arm of the Trump campaign, but they are doing some of those things, are they not?
You're absolutely correct. AFPI is exactly doing that, and I, on the side, have been helping them a little bit, but they've been doing an outstanding job and helping a possible candidate prepare. And what will happen is once a Republican candidate, if we take that, is nominated or clear is going to be nominated, then they'll set up a transition of their own.
Mm.
And that transition will then benefit, if it wants to, from the work that America First Policy Institute has been doing.
Oh, got it.
And the great benefit of AFPI is they've been going more than just year zero. They've been going since the end of the last Trump administration. So so they've done a huge amount of preliminary work, and Heritage, I'll mention as well, has done some work.
Mm.
And I imagine those two efforts will come together, but they'll come together under the banner of an official campaign transition team.
Yeah. Now, I mean, the AFPI, I mean, I was there at the very beginning. I mean, the thing was hatched in my office, but the point I'm going to make is it's a 501c3. It was always available to any of the candidates. I mean, this obviously it's a conservative group, so Republican candidates. What's happened is, you know, because President Trump, former President Trump, has done so well, and, you know, it looks, you know, almost 100% he's going to be the nominee. That's where it's going to land. It'll be landing in the Trump camp, et cetera, et cetera. And originally, it could have got, you know, could have helped DeSantis, could have helped Haley. They didn't call on us. I mean, it was, I never understood that, Chris. But anyway, that's a sideline. You know, one thing I want to say, you know, time is short, but your formal position in the White House, you were deputy chief of staff for policy or policy coordination. I don't remember what we called it. What do we call it? Policy coordination. They should institutionalize that, because you did. I want to say this. You did a brilliant job coordinating Honest Broker. And funny, I saw the NEC as an Honest Broker, too. But you and I work so closely together, and I go back to the trade meetings. You set up this trade committee. There was always disagreements on trade, you know, inside the principals. And those meetings, over which you presided on a regular basis, and we produced policy recommendations for the president, was absolutely brilliant, Chris Liddell. And so that's why I think that whole, you know, I think they should institutionalize that spot.
Yeah, Larry, I talk a lot about this in the book, about how the president makes decisions and how he should make decisions. One of the key things is to have that honest broker role, whether it's in the NEC role like yourself or the deputy chief of staff like myself. The president needs options, and he needs contestable options. Now, every president, if you look back in history, and I go in the book to talk about the history of the way that different presidents have made decisions. Some really like that contestability in front of them, and you recall President Trump loved that.
Loved it.
Some of the best meetings we had were you and Steve Mnuchin and Bob Lighthizer.
We were going at it.
Thrashing it out.
We were thrashing it out. No, but that's...
And me try to navigate it a little bit, should we say.
Yes.
So that process is incredibly important, and it can be done well or it can be done badly, but you've got to get the right options to a president for decision. And the other critical thing, Larry, and again, your role and mine address this, is then you've got to implement them.
Mm.
And that's something that a lot of White Houses are good at making decisions, but then nothing happens. And you've got to have a process there afterwards, and people responsible for not only getting the president the right options, but making sure his or her decisions are then carried out. Right. And again,
Chris,
a bit kind of boring process stuff, but it's
This is good stuff. Just to hear your voice, I miss you. I'm hoping you're going to come back into town soon, so we can get together, folks. Chris Liddell, former deputy chief of staff in the Trump administration. I mean, he ran two companies, CFO for two companies, Microsoft and GM, so he knows whereof he's speaking. He's a very dear friend. Anyway, the book is Year Zero, The Five-Year Presidency. It's out Monday, blah, blah, blah. I'm sure you can get it on Amazon, one click, and all these other places. Christopher Liddell, thank you. Take care. All best to Renee. We'll talk soon. Folks, we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to talk to monetarist economist, money supply economist, M2 economist, Steve Hanke of Johns Hopkins University. I'm Kudlow. We'll be right back.
Larry Kudlow on 77 WABC.